shot. It's scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
Alrighty, game six, Stanley Cup final. We're ready for it. Tyler's wearing a Red Wings jersey for some reason.
I have a very good reason.
Deny if there's any reason to. There's a stupid documentary coming out on a
fake
rivalry. It's
not stupid. It's one of the best ever.
They play it up way too much. That's not even a hot take at this point. Listen, like, it was a good rivalry, yes. It's not what they make it out to what it was.
Tanner, I would love for there to be an Battle of Alberta documentary, 100%. Unfortunately, though, I haven't seen it yet. ESPN has gone full bore with this NHL deal, so I had to bust out the Red Wings sweater because it brought back nostalgia for me. Also, I can't turn around. You can see the number 30. It's my Chris Osgood sweater because it's the annual celebration of Chris Osgood getting snubbed for the Hockey Hall of Fame because they're announcing this year's nomination.
The Hockey Hall of Fame's such a joke. Like, Paul Henderson's not in it. That's like, it's a fraud.
But no, he's in the international, IIHF Hall of Fame. He's in the International Hockey Hall of Fame. That's probably the reason why. But no, yeah, it's my annual celebration. I got in some people with it on Twitter about it. Cause even though, 401 wins, 3 Stanley Cups, Jennings Trophy, All-Star appearances, that doesn't matter, Janner, in the Hall of Fame.
It's because he had a good team, right? That's the excuse, right?
Oh, yeah, so he had a good team. Marc-Andre Fleury was on a bad team when he won. Shout out to the Locked On Penguins guys.
Christian Santiago's in the chat. Hope the Avs win. He's done with NHL hockey. Christian says, I'm sick of it. Finish it off. We don't want game 7.
Is he a 3-Ice fan? He's probably at 3-Ice. He wants to watch more of that, eh?
I watched like part of that. Again, it seemed kind of cool, but it's too niche for NHL playoff time. Like, you can't be battling the NHL playoffs for viewers. No. But if you got a thought, let us know in the chat what's going on. I'm on Twitter at Janner on PXP. He's there at TJKU29, not number 30 like he's wearing. Give us a thought. We're on Twitter at World Hockey RPT as well. Today on the show, Rob Garrison's going to come on. We're going to talk Calder Cup, Chicago Wolves. He won one. The Wolves won one here recently. And then Peyton Turnage is going to hop on, freelance play-by-play broadcaster. We'll talk all things hockey with him. Eric Krause, the producer's in the chat early. Ice Wars 2 as the sheriff. The sheriff announced it on our show. That's how much they love World Hockey Report. Eric, there's a 99% chance we're going to be there. 1% means I got to talk to AJ this week. But yeah, you're damn right, Eric. We are going back to the River Cree. It's going to be electric. I know Tyler wants to come too, but that's a little bit of a hike for one night.
I could drive, but just if the gas prices can get down to close to $3 or close to $4 a gallon, I think we can talk maybe.
That's incredibly cheap. Like, per gallon, we're probably paying $8.
I saw somewhere like Northern Ontario, it was probably like $1.20 a liter. So that was probably the best thing I've seen from a lot of people that post the gas prices on Twitter.
That's cheap. We're $2 a liter here.
You have the exchange rate though, the American dollar kind of evens out in some form or another, I guess. Because the first time I took my wife to Canada when we were dating, she said, holy cow, Tyler, we're rich. We went to the currency exchange. Like, nope, that's just kind of how bad the dollar is right now in Canada.
Christian, I got two favorite hockey teams, Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche. Can you have two favorites? Like, one's your favorite and the other's a team you really, really, really like. You can't have two favorites in my mind.
I think you can have two favorites if they're in different conferences. I don't know about that close, like Colorado and Vegas, because if Vegas was better, if they were a little bit better this year, then that could have been the Western Conference Finals matchup. I would say, like, if Toronto's one team on one side, you can cheer for Winnipeg or Edmonton in the other, even though the fan base is wanting.
They can't both be your favorite. Like, Christian, gun to head, what team are you picking? What team? Ryder's in with an interesting comment here too. Ryder Heskett, the refs are ruining the series. There's been a lot of ref talk about it. I'm kind of, and I was talking with Tim Peel the other day. PLZ loves World Hockey Report. He'll be back on this summer to sling it. I know that. But like, again, when you come down to the Stanley Cup, these are the best refs. Like, there's no one else you can choose who's a better ref. Yeah. So as much as you might dislike them, Ryder, you got to give us some legitimate reasoning here, because I think it's an interesting topic, but I need something. If you got a solution, okay, give it to us, Ryder. You can't just say they're ruining it, though, because there's no one better you can just find and pull out of nowhere.
Yeah, because I like Wes. I mean, Wes McCauley, obviously, not just because of the fact that he's entertaining and whatnot, but he's a good ref, and him and Kelly Sutherland are the best duo, and Gord Dwyer does a good job as well. It's not an easy job. And yes, when, oh my gosh, these are the best guys they got and they make mistakes. Well, imagine if we didn't have the best guys in this series, how awful it could be. I get it. We're still talking about game four, how it ended. Sure, whatever. But it happens. Mistakes are made. Brett Hall scored a goal in 99. That mistake was made, and it goes on forever. Sure, whatnot. It'll be an infamy. Hey, Carey Fraser's a Hall of Fame ref. He made a couple mistakes. Toronto fans won't let him remember or let him forget it. So I understand the frustration, but let's just give these guys a break here.
Eric's been a Washington fan since I was six. It's impressive. If you remember like the year you became a fan, that's impressive. But he also follows Edmonton since he lives in Edmonton. That makes sense. If he goes to a Caps Oilers game, always wears his Caps jersey. Probably like the least safe place to be with a Caps jersey on is Edmonton. But I give him credit here. Christian says Vegas Golden because I live in Las Vegas. That's fair. That's well, fair. That makes sense. You can't have two favorites. You can have one favorite and there's one team you really, really like. So Adam, I disagree with you fully on this one. Okay. I'm getting the call from producer Eric here. I think we got Rob in the backstage already.
He's ready to go.
Looks like we do. So we're just going to blow through this commercial break here. We'll get to it later. As we join our guest right now, Rob, what's going on? It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Doing good. Appreciate you hopping on. Obviously, saw the Chicago Wolves win a Calder Cup. First name that comes to mind, Rob Garrison, part of the 08 team. So I'm sure you were keeping tabs. It's got to be cool to see the Wolves continue to have some success.
Yeah, it's just like, such a good organization. There's so many people that are still there from when I was there. Wendell Young is a GM now. He was a goalie coach back then. There are just so many people, so many good people in that organization.
Yeah, because I've actually had conversations with Jason Shaver, who's the play-by-play guy over there for the Chicago Wolves. Great guy. And you know, it's hard for me as when I was a kid growing up, Rob, I was born and bred to not like the Wolves that much. I'm from Grand Rapids, so the Griffins obviously were part of my growing up being there. But, you know, tell us a little bit about that 08 team here. I mean, because you look at it and, you know, you see a lot of former or future NHLers, and I remember Kari Lehtinen was there for a cup of coffee, but obviously, you know, you were there with Andre Pavlik. Tell us about how great that 08 team was.
I mean, it was a really special team. I mean, our top line was Jason Krog, Darren Haydar, and Brett Sterling, and they just, like, think Haydar was in the NHL for a lot of, like, the beginning of the year, but otherwise, like, Krog and Sterling led the league in goals. I remember the very last game of the season, Krog and Sterling they were both tied with somebody from, I think, Manchester for the league lead in scoring in points and or in goals, I think. And Krog had the league lead in points, and they had a 2-1-0 on an empty net at the end of the season, like the very last play of the game to take the lead. And they just kept passing the puck back and forth. And I think finally Krog shot it. But yeah, it was a really special team. There were so many great players on that team. Like Brian Little was like on our third line. It was just, it was a really good team.
What happened to that guy?
worked out well for him going through the minors. Hey, Rob, take me back to 08 though and the American League. Like, what was travel like for you in the playoffs? Because I hear some horror stories from some old school AHL, ECHL guys, a long bus rides during 7-game series in the minors.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's one area where I think Chicago is such a great organization. Like we flew everywhere other than Milwaukee and Rockford in the first round. I remember when I played in Hartford, we had a road trip with we bused from Hartford to Norfolk, which is like a 10-hour drive. Oh, like man. it was brutal. And in the East Coast League and other leagues that I played in, we like 27-hour bus rides. But in Chicago, it was really like anything over 3 hours we flew, and even sometimes we'd fly for like those short trips. Like we flew to Peoria one time, which is only like 3.5 hours. But like that organization really takes care of the players, and it's there's a few times where like remember one time we were in San Antonio and we had a game at home the next day, and we were supposed to fly back the next morning, the day of the game, and the last minute they're like after the game they're like, okay, we got a private jet, we've got to get out of here.
Yeah, you guys are living
by 11 o'clock.
What? Well, yeah. For the record, Janner, I don't know if you know where Allstate Arena is. I think that's what it's still called there in Rosemont. It's literally down the road from O'Hare Airport. So, of course, they can fly everywhere. Yeah. They just need to take their own quick drive over there. Rob, I got to ask you, though. You were there for Chicago for a couple years, and I myself, a food junkie, love me a good deep dish pizza. What is the best deep dish in Chicago?
Oh, I don't think I'm qualified for that. I didn't have a ton of deep dish. There's a place downtown. I can't remember what it's called. It was like they made this like pizza that's like upside down pizza that like comes, it's like this big, and like they bring it to the table and there's like meat, like full meatballs in it. They bring it to the table and flip it over in front of your your plate. It's a heart attack in a bowl, but it's delicious.
Oh man, that sounds delicious. I myself, for any people from Chicago, I'm a Geno's East supporter. So let the comments fill up with angry people on that one, because that seems there are certain arguments that are that happen in regional areas. Deep dish pizza is one of them.
I'm more of a fancy pizza guy. There's a place downtown called Peace in Bucktown.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
That was really awesome. Yeah, it was really good.
Janner, I'm sorry. I know they don't have deep dish. It's all pizza, and I don't know what's the other one up there.
Yeah, I'm a Lou Malnati's guy. I'm a Lou Malnati's guy if I'm going to Chicago.
That's my number two. That's a good one.
That's exactly what I'm crushing. Hey, Rob, I know you're into goalie coaching now, so we can ask you about the big guns in the Stanley Cup final. Are you a little surprised at how Vasilevsky's bounced back? Like, that guy's been putting on miles for the past 3 years. His body's got to be starting to wear out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think most of the time when Tampa's playing well, he has a pretty stress-free life in net. He's played a ton. I was a little surprised they kept him in. I can't remember what game it was. Was it game two?
Yeah,
when they were getting in all those.
Yeah, like, I don't think he was bad, but I was a little surprised. That's usually a time in playoffs where teams will be like, okay, let's get him out of there. Let's get him, let him get a rest and clear his head, but. Sounded like he wanted to stay in the net. So I think that's the kind of guy you want. And maybe that's why he's been able to bounce back and be so successful.
What do you teach the young goaltenders, you know, when you're working with younger guys, cause it's easy, or younger guys and gals, you know, cause it's easy to, you know, teach a goaltender how to do a good butterfly slide or do the splits or, you know, reactionary saves and whatnot. But you played for, you know, many years, you rode the buses, you know what it's like to play pro hockey. It's a mental game for us goaltenders sometimes. What do you say to guys or gals that, you know, when they say they have a bad game, you know, what is your sign of encouragement to try to have them get beyond that and get ready for the next game?
I'm really, really big on, and when I would play too, I'm really big on just basics, like really going back to basics. And if you're struggling, just take all the sliding away, take everything away. Like that practice, next practice, you just make sure you beat every pass, get set, and the less movement you can have before shots, the better you're going to be, and like the more consistent you're going to be. So like that's my biggest thing. If it's a kid that has some experience, or like in junior, like there's a lot of experience and games that they've played well to fall back on and remind them about. But that's pretty much it. It's just stay simple, keep your game simple. Like most of the time when you see guys struggling in games, they've gotten away from their good habits, and that's when bad things happen.
Rob Garrison obviously owns Conscious Goaltending. You follow him on Twitter at goalie_school. Rob, I want to talk about Darcy Kuemper for a second. Where do you kind of place him in this, you know, good elite goaltending category? Is he making his case to be, you know, in the top 10 for NHL goaltenders right now? And because he's going to be a UFA, obviously, like this is a guy who I would say is bordering on elite, but I want your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think when teams go out and they want to spend money on a goaltender, like the guys that have experience are the guys that they want. And like this Stanley Cup run, especially if they end up winning, that's huge experience to draw on for him going forward. And he's been like, I think Colorado's a very good team. I don't think he's had to be sensational at any point, but like if you're a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup, or you have a really good team, you want a guy that knows how to play in those games where you're not getting a ton of shots, but like the shots you do get come on rare breakdowns, and you have to be ready to go on those in those plays. So like guys that can make big saves and have had experience of winning are huge.
So you're telling me he'd look good in Edmonton?
Not really, but I think he turned it around though. Right. That's the most important thing. That's another part of that experience is like, you know, if he has a bad game or two, even the first couple of games of this series, he wasn't great. But he's picked it up, and he's doing what he needs to do to get wins.
Well, first of all, Epic just jumped in the chat saying one of the most underrated forwards of all time. He said Brian Little. So shout out to former third liner from the Chicago Wolves, Brian Little. What do you think about Coach Bednar's comments after that Game 5 loss, though? Right, Ron, because he calls out his goaltender saying Kuemper probably would like to see him have the first one there. You know, did you like it when your coach, you know, I don't say went out to the press or went out to the media, but when he kind of made it public, knowing how he felt about your play, or would you rather have had it just been a one-on-one in the coach's office about your performance?
I think it's one of those things that, like, if that's going to affect the way he plays the next game, then, like, there were so many other things that could have affected the way he was going to play, especially at this point in the season. Like, if he was having a really bad season, and that, like, maybe that's when you don't want your coach to throw you under the bus. But like every goalie knows that when they let in a bad goal. So like sometimes it's good to hear it from a coach. Like the worst feeling I think is when you don't know what your coach is thinking, or like especially if you're fighting the puck, or like if the puck goes through a screen or whatever, you want to make sure everybody knows that you didn't see it, or you're wondering what the coach is thinking on the bench. But I mean, I think at this point, like Kuemper's—he's solidified that spot. He knows he's going to play the next game, so I think that shouldn't be too big of a deal for him.
Rob, what did you see on that Jan Ruda goal in game number 5, where he literally just walks down the wall and lets a blast go? Like, I know it went 95 miles an hour, like he's got a cannon and everything, but you're a goalie mind as well. Do you think Kuemper was just overthinking it? Did he just take a swipe at it and miss it? Like, I don't know. How do you analyze that?
It could have been that. It might have been, he might have just swiped and missed. It happens. When guys are shooting the puck that hard, there's very little margin for error. But yeah, like at this point in the season, that's a save he probably has to make, but it happens. The important thing is making sure the next one doesn't go in.
Yeah, it's like we mentioned earlier, it's a mental game for goaltenders. I say the biggest save a goaltender can make is the next one. Try to get back in your rhythm. Who was the hardest shot that you've ever faced, Rob? Because obviously, I mean, there's probably two or three guys that had hidden bombs in their back pockets in the minors there.
We had a guy my second year in Chicago, Chad Denny, who I think when he was in the Quebec League, his shot was measured over 100 miles an hour. He broke the glass one time at the end of a practice. He had an absolute bomb, but he didn't really know where it was going all the time. The hardest guy to stop, like hardest shot that I was drafted by Washington, and when I was the year after I got drafted, I skated with them in playoffs. I was like their third goalie while the AHL team was still going. And I got to go up against like Jager and Peter, but Peter Bondra had just a ridiculous release.
Oh yeah.
His shot was so like, it was so quick off his stick, and they like, he gave you no information before the shot, and it was always just like bar down, posting in every time.
500 goals, no big deal. Peter Bondra, another bum.
Yeah, he was pretty good, yeah.
500, is that good? Hey, in Owen Sound, you also played a friend of the show, Bobby Ryan and Mark Giordano. You got to have something from playing with them because they're both characters.
Yeah, so my favorite story about Giordano is when he was 19 or 20, he went to Calgary camp, and he was just such an animal in the gym that they told him he wasn't allowed to do any upper body anymore because he was so, like, he was just, like, huge. They told him, like, at 20 years old, that an NHL team's telling him he's too strong up top was just crazy.
Well, that's Bobby? A problem. I mean, oh my gosh, a big defenseman. He's only going to have to go up against other 220-pound guys. Oh no, he's too strong to push a guy like Sidney Crosby off stride or something like that. My goodness. But yeah, I mean, because exactly. I mean, those are some pretty good teams you had in Owen Sound there too. I mean, you know, and obviously you played in Sarnia there as well. You know, what was your experience like from, you know, and from what you played in and what you see now in the Ontario League? What's been the biggest change from your era of playing to what you see nowadays?
So I think like when I played, it's a long time ago now when I think about it, when I played, I think like there were like guys like Bobby Ryan had unbelievable skill, and there were like a few guys on every team that had that skill. Now I think the game is like almost every single guy can like toe drag in a phone booth, and just like the skill is just off the charts, and the game is a lot faster. I was like, right on the, like my first year pro was the year after the lockout. And so like the rules were changing and the game was getting a little quicker because there was less obstruction momentarily. The game got faster. But now just every single kid is, I feel like every player now trains the way goalies used to, where like every goalie has a goalie coach. Now every player has like a skills coach, and everybody works on their hands all the time and works on strategies for what to do with the puck when they have the puck. Like the training for players, skaters, is at a much higher level than it used to be.
Hey, you played in the U-Haul in 2004-05, and I know you played with a guy named Dave Stewart. So we love our heavyweights here, Ice Wars supporters, of course. You got to have a crazy Dave Stewart story because this guy was a heavyweight.
Yeah, Stewie was one of my favorite people that I ever played with. He was like my dad. That was my first year of pro. He was kind of my dad on the team. Like him, me, AJ McLean, who's a assistant coach for the Marlies now, and Troy Smith, who was coaching in the OHL for a little while. We all kind of just hung out with Stewie, and Stewie like took us under his wing and like showed us how to be pros. My favorite story about Dave was, we called him the NHL assassin when I played with him, because it was a year of the lockout. So there were a lot of NHL guys in the league, and he ended up fighting. Like, he didn't even fight that much that year, but he fought Chris Chelios. And he fought, I think, the Bryce Salvo. He fought another guy that played for St. Louis. I can't remember who it was, but he fought Chris Chelios. It was a guy, I think he skated around. Their goalie came out of the net. He skated past him. And their goalie like stepped into him and took a dive, and Chelios didn't see it, and he turned around, saw his goalie down, so he was like, oh, I guess I gotta go fight this guy. So yeah, Chelios came after him, and he had to fight Chris Chelios, which was pretty cool. I think one of the things I'm sure he tells his kids about it now.
Okay, you said he didn't fight that much, but he had 350 PIMs that season. So
did he really? I didn't realize he had that many that season.
and 20 points.
Yeah.
Fight 300 times, you get 300 penalty minutes, but you know, the roster's being so small, you have a chance to put the puck in the back of the net a couple times. Rob, one more question before I let you go here. Game 6 tonight, it could end. We might be having a show on Tuesday. Who knows? What do you think is going to happen though between Colorado and Tampa?
I think the biggest thing is if Tampa Bay can go up first, then I think they have a chance to win it because they're just so smothering. But if Colorado gets loose early, then I think it could be over. So I'm going to say Colorado's going to win tonight. I think it's really hard to win that many games in a row against a really good team. So
clutch road win. Hey, Rob, I know you still got conscious goaltending, right? You got summer camps coming up. Anything you can plug while you're here?
Sort of. I'm kind of taking it easy this summer. I had a really, really crazy, I was pretty much on the ice every single day through the winter. So I'm on the ice twice a week at Hockey Factory here in Toronto. Check out the Hockey Factory website, which I don't know what it is.
That's fine. Just ask for Rob when you go to the Hockey Factory, right? Hey, yeah, man, this exactly. is awesome. Thank you so much. We appreciate you diving into the Vegas stories and hanging out with us.
Thanks, guys.
Rob Garrison right there joining us. 08 Calder Cup champ. Shout out Chicago Wolves. They did it again.
We didn't ask him about the Danbury Trashers. We didn't even get a chance to ask him about that.
Oh, we should have. Well, that's next time. Whatever. We'll get him on. How do we not ask about the Trashers? We literally are like the Trashers.
We just literally mentioned AJ Galante off the top of the show, so...
Yeah, I guess we'll have to go back to that one. Hey, again, if you got a thought on the game tonight, get it in the conversation right now. I know Jacob's in there. Adam's in there. Epic. I don't even know how to say this now. It's Mr. Mao. Avalanche had the better team. Tampa's got the better goal. Tampa Bay wins tonight. Hope I'm wrong. See, everyone's got this reverse jinx going on. And I know Adam tweeted out the Kucherov one. I thought that was funny, but like, if there's one thing I can't stand, Tyler, it's all these like Tampa fans and kind of reporters like throwing out these reverse jinxes, being like, "Oh, Tampa's overmatched; they're not going to win." And you know that they're absolutely cheering as soon as Tampa wins. They're acting like they're the smartest people in the world.
Well, that's what I like. I try to do. I used to like. I remember a couple of years I would try to pick the teams to beat the Leafs. Like, they're going to take care of the Leafs. Thinking to myself, all right, if the Leafs win this thing, I'm going to look like a genius. No, I get it. You know, trying to be superstitious, whatever. Danelle, yes, I'm wearing a Red Wings jersey because the awesome documentary that's been put out together by ESPN that came out today, was released today. I watched it. I didn't even watch the full one yet. It's awesome. And also it's Chris Osgood. And like I said before, the guy that should be in the Hall of Fame is going to get snubbed once again when they make the announcement tomorrow. So it's the annual Chris Osgood for Hall of Fame Awareness Day. I guess we can call it that, the day before the Hall of Fame announcement. So that's the reason why I'm wearing the red and white. Yes, I know. A red and white with a Leafs mug. My dad and my grandfather are yearning.
Just makes me want to puke. Just makes me want to puke your combo. Hey, Danelle asked, though, do you guys want a game 7? As we all know, we don't want the NHL season to end tonight. Been saying that
Do you want to work Tuesday?
Oh, yes, I want to work Tuesday. It's my birthday, and I want to work. Like, game 7 injected into my veins, game 7 overtime? Like, how much money do I have to pay for that?
In Denver, where people are hopping over fences and stampeding into outdoor viewing areas. Heck yeah. Let's go. Let's just have chaos.
Oh, I would love that 100%.
You saw those videos, right? So the outdoor viewing setup they have there somewhere in Denver, like people were like storming in like over fences and whatever. And they had to nix it for tonight. They're only doing like viewing parties the only viewing party in Denver is in the arena because a bunch of kids, well, they all looked younger because they looked very athletic when they were jumping over a fence. So it can't be my age, but they were like illegally going into this viewing party outside and like bomb stampeded. And it was ridiculous. People got hurt. So yeah, that's why I think it'd be a little interesting if they do it for game 7. If they're going to try to bring it back, or are they just going to tell people, hey, go watch it at home.
To just be a free for all, just let them fly. Let everyone drink. Let everyone party. No rules.
They're going to have like when the Broncos won the Super Bowls, they had riots after those games or whatever. Each year when John
Vancouver has one after every regular season loss. Those lunatics out there.
No, that's Toronto when they lose. That's when riots happen. Toronto loses a Wednesday night game against Carolina. Panic.
Vancouver's worse. Okay, it's Cody and Tyler. We're hanging out. We are way late for a commercial break here. Producer Eric's going to start screaming at us. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, the best in the game. Don't forget, though, travel's back. So why not book a trip to your dream sports event with Sports Travel Tours? They got NHL trips as well as Spangler Cup, NFL, F1, Premier League packages. races, and much more. Sports Travel Tours, go check them out today. Okay, we're back after a commercial break. It's World Hockey Report on the Hockey Podcast Network and 12 Ounce Sports.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
It's Stanley Cup playoff time in the NHL, and if you want to save some money on your next ticket purchase, sign up for SeatGeek and use promo code WHR when checking out. It's that simple on SeatGeek. When you use promo code WHR on your first purchase, you'll save $20.
What we do here is go back.
Well, Tyler's ditched his jersey. He's not much of a Wings fan, if you ask me.
Well, I didn't want people to think that I was cheering for them because of the rivalry movie with them and the Avalanche. Also, I didn't want to get hair on it because I wanted to bring Wixie over here. Well, say hi, Wixie. It's my corgi Wixie, named after the former goat. Unfortunately, Marie-Philippe Poulin's a little bit better. Named her after Haley Wickenheiser. That's why her name is Wixie.
There you go. It's Cody Jansen, Tyler Cool with you. World Hockey Report. We are coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios today. Be sure the best smelling salts in the game. You got to stock up now. Billy's. Yes, that's what it is. Billy's Smelling Salts, the absolute best. Okay, join the conversation right now. If you got a hot take for game number 6, get it in. Don't forget WHROT challenge after the game, or if the game goes to overtime, you better have your tweets in. Lots of comments coming in. What's going on, Front Row Productions? Richard, hopefully Tampa eats Colorado's Avalanche. That's a good one.
That can't be the first time he said that, right?
So if Tampa eats Colorado's Avalanche, that means the Bolts are winning, right? I think that's, I would assume that's kind of like the bully eating the lunch.
Well, it's
a little confusing.
It's going to be interesting because we all know that Braden Point's not playing tonight, but also as of right now, Valerie Nichushkin is still uncertain. It seems like he's going to take the warmups. And because he allegedly was carted from the arena, apparently he was going to get x-rays. We actually found that out when we were doing our Twitter spaces after game 5. So Nichushkin, he's been hotter than a pistol in this series and in the last round is too, Janner. So if Nichushkin's not in the lineup for game 6, that's going to be a pretty sizable hole in the Avalanche lineup.
Richard says, yep, so I guess we're on board. He thinks Tampa's winning and forcing a game number 7, as does Danny. What's going on, Danny? Go Tampa Bay. If you got a score prediction, let us know. Jacob's in the chat as well. Tampa wins 2-1 in regulation by a late goal by the head gun, Victor Hedman.
I didn't know he was a Vancouver Canucks fan. Bruce, there it is. I gave him that crap because it's for Bruce Cassidy, I know, but I gave him crap for that because the Bruce There It Is became big with Bruce Boudreau and the Canucks. So,
Front Row Productions, what's going on? I think he means hey, 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 not he, hey, hey. But again, we'll take it either way. If you got a hot take, let us know. Danelle, happy I get to see a game 6 tonight since I'm off from work. But if it goes to game 7, I'll be at work and won't see the game, but I will DVR the game or just look at clips on social media. That sucks, Danelle. If you need me to write you a letter that says you're sick and you can't attend work, I will do that for you personally. I'll call your boss. I'll call in sick for you. Did you ever do that in high school, Tyler? Did you ever get someone to call in and say, yeah, he's sick. He ain't coming in.
No, but I have one that's a lot better. So my wife knows about this too. There was a girl that I met my freshman year in college. We went down to the Nationals down in Florida. Florida Atlantic was like helping volunteers for the event. I met a girl down there. She was really cool. We changed numbers. We'd been talking every so often ever since then. Not recently. It's been a few years. But anyways, I would always have her be my boss. Like if there was like a weird situation or a bad date I was on, I'd text her and say, hey, can you give me a call right now and just act like my boss? And she'd honestly call like she's my boss and tell me I had to go to work or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Slimeball Tyler here. But hey, listen, I had friends in low places.
Hey, sometimes you got to set those things up. No, when I was playing juniors, when I was like 16, 17 in high school, it was like, if you ever wanted a day off, you just get like one of the 20 bombs or something to call your like school principal and be like, hey, it's Cody's billet dad. Yeah, he ain't coming to school today. Not feeling good. Like he's been up all night throwing up, just not going to be there. So
you don't have to drop the voice either.
Nah. Yeah, we were fine. Bruce, there it is. No, it's VGK. F the can sucks. That's a funny one. Can sucks. That's a good spelling mistake right there.
Yeah.
I seen there were some Nick Hague trade rumors regarding Vegas. They obviously got to clean up some more cap space. I think they're just going to kill themselves with depth. Speaking of Vegas, like we'll get into it in the offseason. But realistically, if this is a team that's not going to have that depth, they're not going to go on any Stanley Cup runs. So Danelle talks about the ESPN documentary today, Avs Wings. It was on for 2 hours from 1 to 3. Pretty good, I will say. Danelle, I mean, I'm not that excited. I'm not that excited for it because I'm not a Wings fan, not an Avs fan. I think the rivalry was good. It was fine. The fight videos are funny, but they're playing this up as...
Well, okay. When did it ever be the case that Dave Semenko and Marty McSorley had to get a police escort into a game? Like, that's what they had to do for Claude Lemieux and the Colorado Avalanche. Like, that's how heated that was. And no disrespect to, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Semenko. And Marty McSorley was obviously a loose cannon at times. But I don't think the Edmonton Oilers had to need a little extra help. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Let's not kid ourselves here.
You know what? I'd like to think Calgary and Edmonton fans are civil when they play against each other.
Yeah, that's the last thing there. I'll give it a watch. I will. I 100% will give it a watch. Of course, I'm a hockey nut. But the expectations are too high. There's too many people talking about it. That's what scares me off. I don't know. I mean, documentaries have hutch. Like, what's your favorite hockey documentary or just sports documentary? Favorite sports documentary?
Oh, man. Well, okay. It's for me, it was The Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls doc. Yes. I mean, I maybe it's yes. Was it because it was during the Tiger King pandemic where like that's all there was on? Sure. But honestly, I've watched it 3 times since. Like, it's really good.
Last Dance is incredible. If you're a soccer fan, Sunderland Till I Die is great as well.
That's been one I've been trying to get. That's going to be an off-season watch for me as well. Also, the recent 30 for 30, the Dream On one about the 96 women's USA team, the team that pretty much helped create the WNBA, that is actually a really good one as well. I would put that up there as one of the best.
I saw it was on ABC today. So, hey, if you got a top documentary you watched, you got a thought on that one, definitely drop it in the comments right now. We're going to head off to a commercial break. When we come back, Peyton Turnage is going to join us. We'll talk game 6 face-offs in about half an hour. Join us in a minute.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
It's Stanley Cup playoff time in the NHL, and if you want to save some money on your next ticket purchase, sign up for SeatGeek and use promo code WHR when checking out. It's that simple on SeatGeek. When you use promo code WHR on your first purchase, you'll save $20.
What we do here is go back
to the farm, back to the books, back to the Boot Heel of Missouri is where we'll have our final guest here on World Hockey Report, Tyler Kuehl, here with Cody Jansen. Cody wanted me to introduce this guy because apparently I know him way too well. I only spent a week with him down in St. Louis. He is a former college NCAA broadcaster looking for somewhere to go because he's so good. He's still freelancing and a free agent. I don't know why. It's Peyton Turnage.
Woo! What's up, everybody?
Peyton, if you had more enthusiasm, maybe you'd get a job.
Maybe, you know, that's my downfall, man.
How you doing,
maybe
everybody?
I need some Dave Michigan energy.
Dave Michigan, yeah, that'll, yeah, about to say, go from 0 to 150 in 2 seconds. Peyton, first of all, how you doing?
I'm a little tired. Went to the Xfinity race in Nashville yesterday. Drove 3 hours back, but other than that, man, I'm ready to go for tonight.
Yeah, it's looking like a fun one coming up tonight here, game six. And game five was another great game. And we, you know, we talked about it earlier. We talked about the goaltending. We talked about how, you know, Tampa may have had a couple goals that they probably shouldn't have had. Darcy Kuemper should have made some saves there. But do you think Colorado's maybe got a little too much doubt now in their system? Maybe the seed of doubt has been planted going into tonight's game?
Maybe not so much doubt, but something similar, just a lot of nervous energy. Just, you know, there was a lot of that the other night toward the end, just the, you know, the flow going back and forth. And it's just like, who is going to finish it? And for the Avalanche, you know, it must be nerve-wracking being in their position, especially being on the road in front of the loud Tampa fans. And for me, you know, we've been talking about Tampa. And the last time I was on the show, I told you Tampa is Tampa. When there was a chance that the Rangers were still going to win that series, Tampa was going to have to overcome a significant deficit. And we're in the same spot here. So I think the Avalanche have to get it done tonight. If it goes back to 7 in Denver, I don't care where they are. Tampa's winning it.
Hey, Peyton, when you look at game six tonight, there's obviously a lot of injuries. There's a lot of roster uncertainties. Who's your X factor on each team?
Well, Nichushkin's always been the guy for the Avalanche. You know, he's just that sneaky good player. And he's a lot like my X factor for Tampa, which is Andre Palat. It seems like anytime each of those guys score, they add another $500,000 to their summer salary. So Palat has been the right guy at the right time, but Nichushkin has been too. But obviously, you know, Nichushkin's a little beat up going into this one. But if he can play, I would still say he's still going to go to those rough areas and still try to be a presence no matter how he's feeling.
Yeah, Pierre LeBrun just tweeted out, Nichushkin limped noticeably into the arena. Also, Peter Baugh has also said no Andrei Burakovsky, still suffering an injury from that hand that we don't know if it's broken or not, but it's obviously not good on that play that happened with Victor Hedman.
Nichushkin is in tonight. Nichushkin is in tonight per our guy Dave Pignota.
Have we gotten so on
okay. I know I saw he was taking warm-ups, but all right, cool. That's certainly good news for sure. But, you know, one thing about that Colorado has, Peyton, that's just an anomaly, if you will. We always talk about how important home ice advantage is. Colorado has lost just one game away from Ball Arena this year. It's something that we never see, and especially in the playoffs in hockey.
Well, I was going to say right before that, did we get our nightly no-point in warm-ups?
No brain point. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
yeah, we got it. We got it from Freege. He's there. He's on the ball.
Just want to make sure we're taking exception to that. You know, I compare this to the St. Louis Blues. They won a lot of games on the road and not so many at home on the way to their Stanley Cup. And the Avalanche have done just that. Then again, I mean, that stat is very heavily biased considering they swept two teams on the way here. You know, my beloved Nashville Predators, not so beloved now on the way there. But the Avalanche have one speed, and that's go. And you've seen all these teams having a hard time defending against them.
Can Darcy Kuemper get it done between the pipes?
A lot of nervous energy with him, too. And you look at that game winner by Palat. I mean, he's there. He's square. He makes the save, and it just nips off the bottom of his pad and rolls in. He's been good, and, you know, he's the guy the Avalanche have been looking for all these years, but he's got to be solid, rock solid. He can do it, yes. If that's your question, yes, he can do it, but it's just a matter of if he's actually going to, you know, stave off that nervous energy, just like the entire team.
You know, Cody Jansen's probably going to start, you know, and probably a lot of folks up in Alberta are going to start really getting concerned. Something's going to start happening underneath their skin when I say this, but a lot of people have compared Kuemper in this series to a little bit of Mike Smith in the fact that, oh, look at that, 37 saves in game four, an overtime win, but then, oh, look at these gaffes in game five. I mean, it's, you know, it's the ebb and flow of being a goaltender, but when you get the chips down and you're going up against the two-time gold, you know, Stanley Cup champion, Conn Smythe Trophy winner, former Vezina winner, Andre Vasilevsky, you can't make mistakes like Kuemper did in the last game.
Absolutely not. You know, you're the guy that the team depends on. You've got to be the rock. And I know you've said it a lot of times that, you know, if Jeff Merrick had his way, the game of hockey would be called goalie instead. And another Jeff Merrick ism is, you know, show me a good goalie and I'll show you a good coach. Or I guess it's vice versa, whichever one. Show me a good coach, I'll show you a good goalie. But just shows how important that is. And hopefully Kuemper has got it within him to knock it down. I mean, we've seen him perform somewhat on the big stage. I think he won a gold medal for Canada in the Summer World Championships, which, I mean, obviously not as big of a deal, not near as big of a deal.
Big stage against Italy.
It's still a big moment. Yes, yes. At least he's got some experience, some, you know, on the line, got to win a game experience under his belt.
No, Kemp's an awesome guy. Grew up with him in Saskatoon, too. Great family.
Chirping him, and he's not even here to defend himself, Jenner. Way to go. He's only preparing for a big game, whatever.
Hey, we'll get him on this summer, I'm sure, and talk to him, or maybe we'll get to hang out with the Stanley Cup. Hey, Cale Makar or Victor Hedman, who's the best defenseman in this series right now?
Cale Makar, by a long shot. Yes, Hedman's the better defensive guy, but you look at everything Makar has done. He's just absolute magic. And I was thinking about it last night. I was like, I mean, is he already one of the best to ever do it? He might be. He's just so lightning quick and just so smart and he's almost perfect the way he plays the game. So yeah, to me it's Makar. And I think you know, to kind of go back for just a second to the awards, I do think Yossi got snubbed for the season he had. And the reason I think that too is because Makar is going to win many more Norrises down the road.
That's it. We're done.
Okay, Janner. At least it's not Adam Fox. It's not Adam Fox.
Yeah, well, I've had that conversation with Ked 77 times. But Cale Makar is the best to do it since Bobby Orr. Again, I think that's where we're at right now. Like, there was no one who was able to defend Connor McDavid on a one-on-one as good as Cale Makar can. There's no one who can rush the puck like Cale Makar can. There's no one who can run a power play like Cale Makar can. He just does it all. Okay,
but,
Tyler, back to you.
But what one thing that Roman Josi has done that not even Bobby Orr even did, that is lead his team in scoring all three times.
Yeah, but his team sucked. They just waste money on Matt Duchene. They had zero forwards.
Well, that's not Josi's fault.
That's why he benefits from it. He benefits from a terrible GM.
This is why Peyton Turner is becoming a St. Louis Blues fan tomorrow.
This is why I'm the Preds pessimist now, yes. Actually, I'm a DJ, but...
DJ pessimist. There you go. Yeah, that's a good one there for Peyton Turnage. Peyton, who is there a player that in this series? I mean, obviously you could chalk it up to maybe being banged up. We're at this point where everyone's injured in some form or another. But has there been a player on both sides or on either side that's you look at and say, you know, that guy should be playing better in this series?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I think about McKinnon. Yeah, that's true. I was just quoted on the show.
Out, just throwing fireballs.
I was quoted on the show a few weeks ago saying that Nathan McKinnon was like if cocaine is a hockey player. But there is a guy, I'm going to kind of go opposite of that. You know, he's been banged up himself. He showed up a little bit here and there last year and some this year. And he really, really was stepping up in important times in Game 5, and that's Nikita Kucherov. When the chips come down, Kucherov is still Kucherov. He's still got the hands. You know, it's kind of like that 5 overtime game you and I called, Tyler, where I talked about the shooters, and you're like, hey, it doesn't matter how tired these guys get. The shooters can still launch them. So I think about Nikita Kucherov in that regard.
Okay, Peyton, I got one more for you, and it's a college hockey nerd question. What the hell's going on with College Hockey South? Like, you're down there. It's so embarrassing. And again, I've had it out with the old commissioner a bazillion times, but like to stray away from the SEC title, which was your notoriety, there's so many good actual programs. There's decent barns down there, and they're just their own worst enemy. Am I wrong? Like, give me an update on College Hockey South and what's that become?
Have you looked at my Twitter? You need to go back to
Peyton's the biggest fan of it.
February or March, and I just blitz them.
Tyler will send it to me after the show. Yeah. I got to read this. We're also blocked by everyone with College Hockey South, so they're not watching. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm blocked by them too. I did fantastic work for them. I called the championship game 3 years in a row. I worked for free a lot of times. Had to travel to events, and this is the thanks I get for all that. And to your point, there were great programs there. There were great programs that were, I mean, college hockey in the South was building on this path, and you could have seen a Georgia or an Alabama or a Tennessee go D1. I feel like everything that College Hockey South is doing is just,
it's killing
stopping that momentum. Yes. Killing it. It's ridiculous. Well, I mean, you may have to have me on and we dedicate a whole episode to this.
Okay, this sounds like a summer episode, too. I didn't know you'd have the hot takes like it. I love
Peyton
it.
Peyton and I have had this discussion. Peyton and I always like to talk about new and possible D1 teams and College Hockey South, because we've talked about Georgia a bunch because they're supposed to be building a new, like, $34 million arena down there. And obviously, we've had the whole Huntsville thing because Peyton is the former Huntsville broadcaster. I mean, we've had these talks.
Yeah. I've got some interesting Georgia news that we can't break yet, but there's the new Barron's coming with some reason there too. And I hear there's a lot of financial backing on potentially moving them up. And I think some of the schools around are going to follow suit, but
about darn time.
That's neither here nor there. And it's probably something that'll break this summer through our friend Andy Strickland. But Tyler, you got anything else for him?
Peyton, it's a good question. Did Andy Strickland watch an ACHA broadcast where he let the Lindenwood men's team come slip out there? You think Andy watches ACHA hockey?
Was he the one? No, that was College Hockey News when you were saying something about Lindenwood.
Oh, yeah, because I asked
they're like,
him.
What? So I don't know, but I think Lindenwood might need a new announcer if you listen to who they have now. And hey, Lindenwood. We'll text. We'll email. Yeah,
text Peyton Turnage, Lindenwood, if you need a D1 guy, a D1 caliber guy. There we go. Peyton Turnage. Janner, I'm about to say I'm all good with Peyton here. We can probably kick him to the curb. We don't. I mean, he's got probably some more hot tweets there for DJ Patey Pate or whatever his name is now.
Yeah, I got zero response, so that's probably coming off by the end of tonight.
Just thanks for hopping on, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Peyton Turnage right there, freelance play-by-play broadcaster.
When you asked about College Hockey South, I literally looked. I'm like, we only have 5 minutes.
I didn't know that was that hot of a topic, but I like it. I like getting into it. And again, there's a lot of rumblings of some teams, some programs kind of saying, screw that guy. Like, that's not screw that guy and Peyton in like screw that guy and like what College Hockey South and that stuff. They're saying, we're done with all this BS club system. Let's move on from it. Okay. Who's your first star tonight?
Well, I think we're going seven. I do, Janner. I'm knocking on this wooden table as I say that. So I think for me, it's going to be Kucherov again. He's going to have another big game because people think of him as the modern day Alexei Kovalev, where he'll be a little bit of a floater. But then when he turns it on, he is unstoppable. And I think he does that again tonight. Knowing the season's on the line and a chance to move within one win of a Stanley Cup, 86 pulls it out for Tampa.
Brandon Hagel. He's going to have two goals in the win here.
No, Nick Paul, game seven. A couple that's a game of seven guy that's going to step up.
Yeah, Nick Paul, two assists. Brandon Hagel, two goals. Yeah, we need a game seven. Okay, give me your final score prediction, and are we getting a WHR OT challenge tonight?
No, because I have to, like I said, I have to rewatch Unrivaled. So a 4-2 win for Tampa tonight. 4-2 with an empty netter.
Oh man, that's kind of what I was thinking. I'll go with 4-1 Tampa. That's a final right there. Okay, we got to get out of here. Game starts in a few minutes. Everyone enjoy it. Huge thanks to our guests, Peyton Turnage, Rob Garrison on the show. Tyler Kuehl, the absolute best pro rock hockey sticks. Go check them out today. As always, everyone, be kind, be better.